thing. I had a pen that just wouldn't write. And so I actually scribbled. I scribbled on the back of my little notepad here, trying to. And then finally, I wrote something down. While I'm scribbling, I wrote down our scripture reference for today, which I didn't know I was going to do. So I said, I am paying attention to that, because that was totally unintentional to write down that particular scripture reference. And so that's what today is about. You're going to have to really hang on today with what I'm going to say, because I've been hanging on to it ever since God's been talking to me about it. I'm going to talk to you about conscious connections. Conscious connections. These are like purposeful connections that you have with God, with people, with whatever. And that word, if you begin to look it up, it's really about awareness. You're conscious of something. You're aware of something. You see something. You notice something. It has to do with awareness. Merriam-Webster says, it's having mental faculties not dulled by sleep, faintness, or stupor. You're very awake to something. All of a sudden, you become very aware of something that perhaps 2 minutes ago you weren't aware of. And it just kind of comes into your consciousness. Cambridge Dictionary says, it means you're fully aware of or sensitive to something. Aware of what you're doing. All of a sudden, you realize what you're actually doing. Sometimes you'll be doing something and it's habit. You've been doing it a long time, and all of a sudden you become aware of what you're doing. At another level of awareness. And it's having your mental faculties fully active at that moment. You're aware of what's happening around you, and you're able to think, you're able to perceive things. When you're in that state of consciousness, you can perceive things, notice things, wrap your brain around some things that you didn't really notice before. This is how you got saved. The first time you heard it probably wasn't the first time you heard it. It was the first time you became really aware, deeply aware of a truth. You know, truth is always there because God is a spirit of truth. And so when truth is there, it isn't that it's never been presented or it's not been available or you've never read it in the Word of God. But all of a sudden, something will come off the page at you. Or when you're praying, all of a sudden you hear what you're praying, and all of a sudden you become conscious of what you're praying, and it means something different to you now than it did before. Y'all understand what I'm saying? And I think this is really pretty common in spirit-filled people, to have these kind of awarenesses. It is God breaking into your routine and how you think and how you normally do, so that He can give you an insight into something you didn't have before, maybe even about yourself. Vocabulary.com says, it's knowing and perceiving. It's having awareness of your surroundings, sensations, and thoughts. It's kind of like sometimes, you know, maybe you have an old clock that still tick, tick, ticks, and you don't notice that you're so used to it. And then all of a sudden you hear it, and you hear it, and you hear it, and all of a sudden it becomes the loudest thing in the whole house to you. It came into your consciousness. You weren't aware of it. You'd been so used to tuning it out that now you weren't aware of it. And then all of a sudden you became aware of it. We can do that with God. That's the same kind of thing that happens with God. Y'all know that? Now, don't confuse conscious with conscience. They're not the same words. They're not the same thing. Conscience means you know you did something right or wrong. You feel guilty or you feel proud. That's conscience. But conscious means awareness. Just keep that in mind. Awareness is what I'm talking about today. So I just wanted to start off with that. And if somebody could close that door down there, that would be great. Mackie, that'd be great. Oh, Bonnie's got it. Never mind. Thank you, Bonnie. God wants us to be so aware of Him. Some people, they tune God out like you do the clock. He's just kind of like, you think He's there. You go through the motions. You think you know what you're supposed to be doing as a Christian. He wants to break through that barrier of just routine. He wants to break through how we are so used to Him. Because how do you get used to God when we don't even know He's multifaceted? God wants us to be aware of Him. He wants us to be conscious of His voice, His presence, His interactions with us, and His love for us. God really wants people to understand His love. There's so many people, they've been saved for years, they don't have a clue about the love of God. Or they wouldn't worry and be in so much fear. If you really understood God's love, and that His even banner over you is love, then you would not doubt that God loved you because of your performance that day. That you maybe didn't do everything perfectly. Well, you're not ever going to do everything perfectly. This is why Jesus came. Is we need Him. He was the perfect one. He paid the price you couldn't pay. You'll never pay for your sins. You're not going to pay. You can't pay for your sins. This is why Jesus came. It's the only way. It's the only way you can connect with God. You've got to have conscious connections with God. More awareness given to God, His presence, what He's wanting to do, the flow of His Spirit. And recognize when His presence and when He's there and He's actually talking to you. We always say, well, somebody else, that sermon's for somebody else. No, it's for us today. It's for us today. When Christians just sort of settle into, quote, a way they do their life, then you've cut off that conscious awareness of God. Routine, although is necessary, it can be brutal at the same time. Because your routine is, I do God in the morning. I have my time with God. You understand? I put that in quotes. Because you don't do God, no, He's living and breathing through you all day long. All day long. You say, well, I had a bad day today, so that's why I'm the way I am. No, it's because you're not consciously aware of God at the moment. We lost that awareness just for that moment. We didn't hear the clock ticking. We got distracted once again with us or how we feel or how we've been treated, maybe. Our consciousness of God is and was meant to connect us to His will for our lives. When you're not consciously aware of God, you are not going to be able to walk out what He has for you. Because you won't be listening. You won't be listening for His voice. You're busy. You're listening to something else. There's some people all day long, they're listening to something else. So it's like there's no place for God to come in because we don't give Him time. We don't give Him space sometimes. His will for us individually now will connect us to a myriad of seemingly small things. You think, well, if I'm connected to God and I'm really listening, I would hear big things. No, at first you're going to hear a lot of small things. But as you obey those small things and you lean into the small things that God has you do, it's taking you someplace you could never take yourself. But you can't climb the mountain until you've learned how to get over the hill. You know, when people are doing these kinds of feats that we think are so awesome, they climbed all the way up top. They've been working on that for a long time. They just did get up that day and say, well, I'm going to climb the mountain. See, you have mountains in your own life you got to climb. Now, God will equip you. But first, it's just going to be this. And then go back down. And the next day, it may be this. Something that you can do. And then the next day, you don't feel so great. You don't want to put up with that one more day, whatever that was that person said to you. And so you kind of look at the step and you're trying to decide, am I going to humble myself? Am I going to work on this relationship one more time? Yes. You understand what I'm saying? So then the next time something comes around, you're going to take a bigger step. Or you're going to take two. You're going to go up two of those steps. You're climbing. You're getting higher. You're getting to where you understand the voice of God. You're getting to where you'll listen to the voice of God and obey Him, which is not always easy. A lot of people want a lot of stuff out of the Christian life, but they just don't want to obey. It doesn't work like that. We obey Him, and then His voice carries us into the blessings of God that are there for you. It isn't that they're not there. You don't have to go get them, but you have to be in a place where you can actually receive them. We have to learn how to receive from God. And then as you receive from God, you just are giving out what He gave you to somebody else. That's all it is, isn't it, Sam? That's what you've been doing. But these steps are It's impossible without them. It really is. But without the connectivity of all those small little things he's having us do, the larger picture is just never really realized. Not in our lives. It's never even seen. You never even really see it. You never experience it. Because you're trying to find another way other than line upon line and precept upon precept. In the ministry of Jesus, we see those many of whom were religious leaders of that day who did not have a God consciousness. They had a rule consciousness. See, a lot of religion comes out of just rules. If you do this, then. If you do this, then. That is not really a God consciousness. That's a rule consciousness. God wants us to know him as person, as someone you can know, as friend. The Bible says he's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. But God is your friend. Do you give as much time to God as you do your best bud, your best friend? You know, how much time do you spend with your friends hanging out with friends? How much time have you devoted to hanging out with God? Do you know he wants to hang out with you? If you look at the ministry of Jesus, you always see him going to where people were hanging out somewhere. They were just there, and he just showed up, and he's just kind of in there with them. Why? Do you know God wants to be with you? He loves you. He wants to be with you. He wants to hang out with you. He would love it if we would want to hang out with him. Well, if they had a God consciousness, they would have really listened to Jesus. See, the religious leaders of the day did not listen to Jesus because they did not have a God consciousness. They weren't really connected to God. They were connected to rules. And this is what religion is. Religion is when it's all about the rules and doctrine, but the love of Jesus is left out of the picture. And without the love of Jesus, the doctrine and the rules won't do you any good. I'm telling you the truth. You know, when you look at the Pharisees and how they treated Jesus, God was speaking to them. God was there to have fellowship with them. Jesus was there, God on foot, to have fellowship with the religious leaders of his day. And they did not receive him because, the rules. Well, yeah, but what about the rules? What about? And they didn't even understand those. They had so complicated those, and they had marginalized the poor and all kinds of things in order to keep a rule. They forgot the heart of the rule. The whole purpose of the rule for them under the old covenant was love. It was God's love to keep them sane, keep them so they wouldn't murder each other, steal from each other, and all the different things. Well, that's why those laws were there. But God, by design, came to indwell us. That was his ultimate goal that Jesus came to fulfill. Because under that Old Testament law, God did not indwell people. The Holy Spirit would come upon them to prophesy those old prophets. But that's different. That's different than what Jesus came to do. But these believers, to connect us to himself. God, by design, came to indwell us as believers, to connect us to him, that we would have a consciousness of him all the time, that it would be unbroken, that no matter how busy we are, no matter what we're doing, no matter how tired we are, there would be a consciousness of God. Jesus said in John 14:9 to Philip, one of his followers, "Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father." Now, while the religious people are waiting on the Messiah is talking to them and they don't even know it. This is what rules will do. They'll keep you from hearing the truth. Rules can keep you from hearing the truth. Jesus said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." He didn't say, "I'm the rule." He didn't say, "I'm the doctrine." He didn't say, "I'm the theology." He said, "I'm the way. I'm truth. I'm life." That's how he identified himself. But then religion came along to put another identity on him and presented God as an angry God, an unfair, an unjust. And if you make one little mistake, he's going to zap you. That is straight from the bowels of hell. That's not God. That is not God. And that is not what the Bible teaches. But Jesus said, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. If you want to know what God is like, you look at the ministry of Jesus. He never rejected anybody. There's nobody Jesus rejected. As a matter of fact, he invited a lot of people who decided not to come. In Mark 4, I'm going to use this as our scriptures this morning. This is pretty brief here this morning, but in Mark 4, I want to start reading. This is where he begins to explain the parable of the sower. I'm not going to go through the whole thing of the parable of the sower. This is Jesus explaining it, and it's in 14. Mark 4:14 is where I'm going to begin. And this is amazing. The farmer plants seed by taking God's word to others. That's called evangelism. There's no other way for God's word to get to people except through people. He says the farmer, if you want a crop, if you want a harvest of something, there's got to be something that's planted. If you just lay it on top, the birds will come and snap it up. And he goes on to say this. He said, the seed that fell on the footpath represents those who hear the message, only to have Satan come at once and take it away. The seed on the rocky soil represents those who hear the message and immediately receive it with joy. But since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long. Have you seen those? Well, I've seen them. I've seen a lot of people come and go over the years. They fall away as soon as they have problems or are persecuted for believing God's word. Well, the seed that fell among the thorns represents others who hear God's word, but all too quickly, the message is crowded out by the worries of this life, the lure of wealth, and the desire for other things. So no fruit is produced. It's just life. You get your mind off the things of God. You get your mind off what God did for you. You get your mind off what your assignment is here on the planet, which is to present the gospel to people every chance you get. But it says it's just the worries and cares of life. Or you just prefer to do other things. You just decide it's more important that day other than what God's word has said. And it doesn't mean you can never have fun or do anything. I'm not saying that. That's what religion says. You'll never have any fun, all that stuff. You can be preaching. You can be sharing the gospel with somebody and laugh your head off. I've done it. You know, it doesn't mean you have to be this real somber-looking person all the time. I mean, I don't think Jesus was like that. I think he had a good, hearty laugh. And I think he smiled a lot. I don't believe he was like all they present on TV. The TV Jesus, I'm telling you. No, he laughed. I believe he smiled at people. I believe he was very friendly. Why? Because God's very friendly to us. God is actually very, very friendly. And a lot of people don't realize that. So if you're created in his image, we'd be friendly too. Once you're born again, you'll be a friendly person. You're not going to be scared to say hello to somebody. You're not going to be afraid. You're not going to live in fear. Fear has torment. Well, that doesn't come from God. You don't want to live in fear while you're here on the planet. No, 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 no. But it says all too quickly the message is crowded out. It's like you're juggling too much. Something needs to go. Whatever is crowding out what God would say to you needs to go. Because you can live a crack. You can go for days and days and not really have a conscious awareness of God. You're just going through your routine. But there hasn't been a time that week where you said, God, I just want you to surround me and wrap me up in you right now. And hold on to me right here, God, because I'm holding on to you. I want to hear your voice today, God. I've got some questions. I've got some decisions to make. God, I got to hear from you. I got to make the right choice. And you'll know it down inside here. He'll talk to you. You can hear God talk to you. Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. That means when Jesus is talking, they go, oh, that's Jesus. So you hear him. You can hear him. This is real. This is not fairy tale make-believe. This is what the gospel is. That you can be saved. Jesus' spirit will come and make you into a new creation you never were before, a new creature. And that he sends the Holy Spirit to indwell you so that you can hear what Jesus is saying. Not only that, the Holy Spirit is your interpreter. When you read things in the Bible, you don't understand. It says the Holy Spirit will make known to you what I'm saying. He will help you understand things. And one of the ways that we know that is he gives us Genesis 1 and 2. If it doesn't line up with Genesis 1 and 2, you didn't understand it right. If it brings condemnation or subjugation. Those two things. If it brings those things, it's not from God. You're not under somebody. He comes to lift you up, not push you down under people. And that you have dominion. Your dominion has been restored. Your dominion that was lost was been restored to you. And your dominion is not over people. It never was. So if you're redeemed, brought back to what was originally, that would mean you don't have dominion over people. Yeah. The only person you need to be trying to control is you. We're not control freaks. Okay? Oh, my goodness. It says, and then in verse 20 it says, and the seed that fell on good soil represents those who hear and accept God's word and produce. If you hear and you accept, the Bible says you're going to produce. There's going to be something that's produced. I mean, because what I want to see is just that people actually learn to hear and change. They hear and they change. They hear and they change. See, this is what the gospel is designed to do. Is that you hear the word of God, then you make the necessary course correction in your life and you line yourself up with what you know is the truth instead of just the way you just keep doing life. While you say you want what God wants for you, you see there's a conflict there. There can be a real conflict because we're so used to what people call average Christianity. There should be nothing average about Christianity. You should be very different. Not obnoxious, just different. But to some people, you might be. Some people, they don't like people who are always smiling. They don't like that. It makes them feel uncomfortable when people have joy or they love the Lord or they say, praise God, while they're saying something else. You're saying, well, praise God. While they're down, you're up. While they're complaining, you're rejoicing. Some people can get annoyed with that. It's called conviction. It's the Holy Ghost. Let them be annoyed. Let them get real annoyed. And finally, they'll say, what is that about you? And then you get to share your testimony and say it. This is what it is. It's God. It's God. I've actually had that happen to me before. Yeah. What is it about you? You're so different. You're just so out there. I had one of my kids say, Mom, you're just so out there, though. Like, I don't meet strangers. I just meet people. We're all strange. So you might as well just get over that. What's a stranger? Stranger than you? You might want to redefine what a stranger is. But we look at these verses and then go down to 24. And these are the words of Jesus I've been reading this morning. So I think we should pay attention to our Lord, what he has to say. Verse 24, it says, then he added, pay close attention to what you hear. He just said, you need to pay really close attention to what you hear, even from him. He says, the closer you listen, the more understanding you will be given. And you will receive even more. To those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be. That's a promise from God. Look at that. That is a promise. God doesn't have to say, I promise. He just says, if you do this, then I'll do this. That's his word. Now, every time he gives his word, that's his promise. It's the same thing. I'm going to read that for 20. Let's go back up. Pay close attention to what you hear, including today. The closer you listen, the more understanding you will be given. And you will receive even more. I love the more. To those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given. But for those who are not listening, even what little understanding they have will be taken away from them. That's a scary thought. This is how people backslide. This is what happens. And they begin to walk away from truth. They begin to walk away from what God had said. They begin to walk away from what they know is right in the sight of God. It can be very dangerous. Yeah, it can be very dangerous. this conscious awareness of God will cause you to be more conscious of other people at a different level. You'll begin to look at people's predicaments, and all of a sudden you will feel empathy for them. People you used to just walk past, you can't do it anymore. You feel empathy for them, compassion. Remember Jesus, it said, and he had compassion on the crowds. He was up around all these people. He saw their hardship. He saw how hard life was, and he had so much compassion on them. And when Jesus comes to live in us, the reason why Jesus wants us to listen to what he's saying is so we can be more like him. He wants us to be more like him. And Jesus, you know, but that we are joined to his spirit. We have a new created spirit, the Bible says, when you're born again. And your spirit, it was designed to be more like Jesus than who you were. Gosh, he is the bar. There's not another bar. I don't want to be like somebody else. I want to be like Jesus. Because he was the first, the Bible says, to bring many to glory. Well, that's us, the many coming in. So that means we were to be like him. We're to be like him also in purpose. What's our purpose? Well, you have a job. That's just so you can live while you're here. It's not your purpose. It can't be your purpose. If you focus on it all the time, you're going to be out of balance. Some people say, well, I hate my job. Your job gives you a lot of freedom. Your job gives you a tremendous amount of freedom where you can share the gospel. You know, you can take care of your needs, and you have freedom where you can be sharing the gospel with somebody. You might be leading a Bible study. You might be the person who goes and picks everybody up in your car to take them. People who don't have a ride. There's a lot of people. They just don't have a ride. They don't have a way. And the bus doesn't go everywhere. It doesn't go everywhere. Y'all understand what I'm saying? Be sensitive to people. God, how do you want me to serve your purposes that you have put in me? That is a God-conscious connection right there. See, the whole point of God saving us is he wanted us to be connected to him permanently. Not just visit, but that we would have this connection that can't be broken. That I have God in me. He comes to indwell us. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. He's called God. It's all God. Father, Son, Holy Ghost is God. And so he comes to indwell us because he wants us to be connected at a very deep conscious level, that we are aware of that all the time. Not just sometimes, but that I'm a God person. That's not an evil thing to say. It's what he said. It's just like the first people that hung around and talked about Jesus all the time, they began to be called Christians because they were like Christ. It's the same thing. And Christ was like God. He came to show us the attributes of God, to show us what he wanted us to be on planet Earth as human beings. That as a human being created in the image of God, once you're born again, then you can become more and more like him. See, that's what they had in Genesis. And this is why God would come every day and visit Adam and Eve. They actually hung out together. Adam and Eve hung out with God. You can hang out with God, and he loves it. You can talk to him in your car. You can talk to him when you're riding your bike, like I do a lot of times. I'm on my bike riding. You know, you can talk to him when you're in the midst of a group of people. There's a lot of noise, whatever. You can talk to God. You can sing praises to him. There's a connection there, and you can listen. You can listen because God has purpose for you being here. You didn't just show up. No, you were on God's mind when you showed up. You were on his mind before you showed up. God knows the end from the beginning. He knew you were going to be here, which means he has a plan for your life that you cannot fulfill any other way except through him. You cannot do it. And there's a lot of people that have lived and died their whole life and never found it. And it wasn't important enough to them to do it. Wow. You know, so you don't want to be like that. You want to have that God consciousness, a God awareness that he has a plan for your life, and that this God consciousness that we have, it will just stay with you no matter what you're doing. This is the only way you can really be more and more like Jesus. is to have an ongoing God consciousness. Y'all stand up, please. Let those who have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church today. Let those who have ears to hear take to heart what God has said today. Everybody didn't take to heart what Jesus said. I don't figure it'll be any different, but some will. I'm after the some who will. I'll lay it down for the some who will. I'll tell you, I will. Because they're priceless in the kingdom of God. Because these are the people who are going to go and share the gospel. These are the people who are going to shake hands with somebody and have something different to say other than, how are you doing today? We have a message to get to our world. Our world needs it. Have y'all noticed? I was talking to my kids recently. My kids who are now grown, but we have a lot of conversations. And, you know, we've always had bad stuff. That's true. But I can remember riding my bike all over the neighborhood. Nobody ever gave a thought that anybody was going to kidnap me. And all my friends rode their bikes wherever they wanted to either. We do live in a different world. It is different. It is very different. It's very different. And most people's opinions are being formed by social media instead of the Word of God. They're being formed by what they think is the majority, which is not the majority, by the way. It's just they have the biggest voice and the most money to put it out there. The voice people need to hear is God. People are stumbling around in the dark, is what it is. And they're groping for some sort of truth while others are resisting it. Jesus is the answer. There's not another answer, y'all. This is it. This is it. And it's not about your feelings. It's not about how you feel. It's about what do you know. What do you really know down inside? Because when the rubber meets the road, it's going to be, what do you know for sure? What are you going to stake your life on? Because you might end up doing it. What do you really know to be the truth about Jesus, about God, about what this is all about? We're not the entertainment committee. People don't come to be entertained. We come to worship. We love the Lord. We come to learn. This is what the early church did. They met all the time. Their lives did depend on it. They had to hear from God. They had to hear from God every single day for every single thing they were doing. And it's like this in other countries right now. So we got to develop that art, really, of this God-conscious awareness. And we've got to stay connected to God. A conscious connection. A conscious connection to God. That we do it on purpose. We're listening for the clock to tick. We're listening. Do we hear it? Or for the little thing coming over the speakers? See, there's all kinds of things. Or the little bit of muffled noises in the back. See, there's a lot of things you become conscious of that might be you didn't notice a few minutes ago. Don't understand what I'm saying? God says, I want it to be like that with you and me. Where you're so sensitive that I can interrupt your thoughts. I can interrupt your day and you'll come to a screeching halt because you were aware of something. This is how Jesus knew that somebody touched him when the woman with the issue of blood came up. And he said, who touched me? He didn't know who it was, but he knew somebody did. And they said, everybody's pushing. He said, no, it was somebody in particular. It was somebody in particular. He said, because I felt power leave my body. So he was in a crowd of people pushing all against him, a multitude of people pressing against him, and yet he's aware of that one person. Not because other people weren't touching him. I mean, you have to understand, they were like this. They were just, Jesus, what about me, Jesus? I mean, they were like, because he was there, and they knew that. And so what happened was, he said, there was somebody touched me. It was different when they touched me. Mm-hmm. And he wanted to know who it was. And of course, she was hiding. She was afraid. Because under the old covenant, the law, she was considered unclean, not supposed to be in the crowd. Jesus doesn't care if you're in the crowd. He'll reach out to the person who's in the crowd. He'll heal the person that's in the crowd. He's interested in your day. He's interested in what's going on with you. He is. He's very personal. Jesus is so aware of you. He's like, can we be more aware of him in our conversations with people, in the decisions that we're making, what we buy, why are we buying it? What are we going to do with it when we get it? Y'all understand what I'm saying? Like, live with purpose. Live with purpose. Lord, we appreciate you today. Jesus, you're so kind and good to us. There's nobody like you, God. I thank you for your words of life, because they are, for anybody who has ears to hear, your words that you bring are words of life to us, because you want us to have everything you intended for us to have. You want us to have it. No good thing does he withhold from them that walk uprightly, the Bible says. God isn't holding anything back from you. Are we holding something back from him? It may be just the other way around. And so let's look at it. Is that, God, am I holding something from you? Am I withholding something from you? And ask him. He'll talk to you. If you ask him, he'll answer you. Be ready. Be ready. Because he's going to answer you. You know, and it's really interesting, because when you come and you're with people who love God and they want to serve God, you know, he's just so for us. So he doesn't leave us so that we become lackadaisical. He doesn't leave us in a place where we just become all settled in to our life and routine. We know how to do the Christian thing, and we know how to, no. That whole thought is kind of smug. Anyway, no. He wants us to be on fire. He wants us to be chasing after him, running hard after God. Yeah. And he wants us to do those small steps and not be upset that they're small steps. He goes, no, keep doing them. You're getting stronger. You're getting more bold. Yes, you are. You take those steps. You keep on. You understand what I'm saying? And pretty soon you'd be climbing that mountain that looks so insurmountable at the time. But it was day by day, step by step. You just kept obeying his voice. That's really all it is. Obey his voice. A conscious connection. And that you have them with people too. That you understand some people, they're going to meet you. They won't meet Jesus, but they can meet Jesus through you. So don't get put out with people. Yeah. Lord, we thank you today for your words of life. I thank you, God, we can have this conscious awareness. I thank you, God, that we're going to be that farmer that takes that seed. And I thank you, God, that your word is your seed that goes down into us. And that all your word that goes into us is going to produce a big crop. It's going to produce a crop in us. We are determined, God, for your word to produce that life in us. Your life in us is what you want produced, so that all your people really do represent you properly. We actually represent who you are. And that, God, you're giving us great grace to be able to do just that. And I thank you, God, for your words of life today. And I thank you, God, we attend to your words. We're not going to just say, oh, well, that was an interesting sermon. No, we're going to listen and we're going to attend to your words. Because you said the farmer plants seed by taking God's word to others. That farmer's got to do something with that seed. When you're reading the word of God, it went into you because it's designed to produce, not just in you, but that seed. Now you have seed. That word is, you have a crop, it grew up in the word, and now you have seed, and you can take that seed and plant it in the life of another person. The farmer plants, this is Jesus, the farmer plants seed by taking God's word to others. Y'all understand? In your everyday life, to your kids, those scriptures. I mean, my kids, they say scriptures back to me now. It's hilarious. I mean, they'll use it sometimes when we're joking about something, but it's in them. It's in them. They know it is there, and it can produce. And a lot of times, it has. I've seen it. Praise God. I think that's how Krista was healed of that heart murmur. There was something where she knew, this is not my life. I want to live this way. And God healed it. She was born with it. God healed it. 3 years ago. God healed it. God healed it. See, so we're supposed to be experiencing things like that. God's word is here so that we experience who God is at a very conscious level, a high level of awareness. So thank you, God, today for your words of life. I appreciate you, God. And if you're out there today and you don't even know this Jesus I've been talking about today, yeah, you can know him personally. He loves you. God's not angry with people. God loves people. He loves you. God's not an angry God. His anger and wrath was satisfied in Jesus Christ on your behalf. And Jesus paid for your sin, so you don't have to. You can receive his kind offer today. It's called grace, something we don't deserve. God did it anyway, something you couldn't do. And so God did it for you because of great, great love. He loves people passionately. He wants you to be connected to him and be very conscious of him for the rest of your life. You can do that today right where you are. Just say, Jesus, I believe you died for my sin. I believe that's true. I believe it's true. And since you took my sin, I know I can go free from it. And I can live a life that matters while I'm here on the planet. And I choose to give my life to you because, Jesus, I think what you did matters the most, of helping people, just be able to know you so that they can be redeemed, so that they can know the God that made them and live with this wonderful God forever. And if that's you, you just pray that prayer and say, I believe Jesus did that for me, and I believe it's true, and I receive him, and I'm giving him my life. I'm not going to be ordinary. I'm going to be a Christian. And I'm going to learn what that is, and I'm going to study, and I'm going to get the truth, because I believe you came to redeem me. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And if you made that decision today, we should let me know. Just let me know. Facebook world, just let me know. I'll pray for you. Pray for you. Amen. Amen, amen. Anybody got a prayer request this morning? Prayer needs. We're going to take some time for whoever for whoever that might be this morning. Anybody got any prayer requests this morning? Anything you want prayer about? Or just for us to agree with you about something you are working on? Okay. You still keep praying? Okay. Let's do this. You still having pain?
A little inflammation in it right here and in my hand.